and his good in the world. So praise the Lord for what God is doing. I do want to invite you to take out your Bibles to the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you've missed last Sunday I began a two-part series, which I'm finishing up today. We're just basically casting the vision of where are we going as a church here at Clay House? What is God doing and how are we moving ahead? And since I moved here in January, I've had a chance to listen to you, hear your heart, hear your stories, see what God is doing in the ministry life of the church here. And so I've had a chance to listen not only to you all, but also to the Lord and say, God, what is it you're doing in our midst? And how can we advance forward with the gospel of Jesus Christ? And this morning, I want to kind of expand on that vision and provide for all of us some values that we're going to be about here at Clay House, kind of explain a little bit more of the DNA of what we need to be about and what God has called us to be. And so we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to actually read our theme verse as a church, in case you didn't know that. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm going to be starting at verse 7, and I'm going to read all the way down to verse 12. The Apostle Paul says, "But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body of the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you." Let's bow our heads and pray and ask the Lord's blessing on this time. Lord, we come to you now, and we thank you for Jesus. Jesus, thank you for loving us. While we were yet sinners, while we were so far away from you, you loved us anyways. And Lord, it's a great mystery, it's a profound mystery, but we thank you for that. And Jesus, just as you've loved us, help us by your grace to be able to love one another and love the people around us so that they would see you in us. And we pray, Lord Jesus, as we talk about the things we're going to talk about today, that you would speak to our hearts and minds and teach us to be an obedient people, that we would be sensitive to your will and your way. Lord, this is your church. This is not ours. This is the church. You're the head, Jesus. And so we worship you, our true shepherd, Lord. We thank you for this time. We thank you for this time we can gather in your word. We pray that you'd speak to us through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I don't know if any of you got a chance on Monday to go outside to watch the eclipse. Anybody go see the eclipse? I'm sure most of us had a chance to see it. I did, but I have to admit to you, I was a little bit disappointed. I don't know, maybe you just loved it and thought it was the most amazing thing. I was kind of expecting that everything was going to be pitch black and it was going to be nighttime. So I had this kind of built up in my mind what it was going to be like. And then it was still a little bit light out. Of course, it was a lot darker out and the temperature dropped a little bit. But I was a little bit disappointed myself. Probably a lot of that was the fact that I didn't have any glasses to look up and see specifically what was going on. I burned my retina pretty bad, you know, that day just looking up and saying, I don't know if I see any moon up there. So I know a lot of you got those glasses, and I'm sure those people that made those things are probably laughing their way to the bank now because they're what good are they now? But anyway, I was a little bit disappointed, honestly, and perhaps it was my own fault because I didn't prepare in advance for it. But what thing I did learn about this is with all the buildup and all the hype of the things, oh, there's going to be an eclipse. Of course, it was all over the news. Everybody's driving up to the main path or wherever go through. Everybody was hyping it up. And as I mentioned, with all the hype, I personally was a little bit disappointed. And you know, one of the things I've discovered about leading a church and pastoring a church is that you can hype up a vision. You can hype up all these things, and it's possible for people to be disappointed. But one thing I have also discovered is that sometimes we're hyping up the wrong things. We need to be hyping up and glorifying Jesus. And we don't worship a vision for a church, and we don't you know, try to push all our energy that way. Certainly God has given us some direction and vision we need to carry forward. But our aim is to glorify and worship Jesus. And when we worship Jesus and when we make Jesus our focus, you can never overhype him because he's worthy of our praises and worthy of our honor. And so this morning, as I'm sharing some things about the mission and vision and values of the church, do understand my heart's cry is to get us back to Jesus, to worship him, to celebrate him. And then when we do that, he'll give us the direction. He'll give us the inspiration. He'll give us the help we need as we take each step forward as a church body. So we need to make sure that Jesus is our vision and that as we follow him, we can live that out in a community of life together by his grace and by his help. And so this morning, I want to share some values and some things that God has been working in the hearts of our leadership here. As I mentioned last week, we've had a chance as leaders over the last number of months to sit down together, to pray, to seek the Lord and saying, God, what is it you're doing in our midst? How can we discern your will and your way? And we've just been thinking about what are some ways God has already been at work and trying to discern how we can take the next step forward in that. And as in verse 7, we highlighted this morning here, which is actually our theme verse, as I mentioned, as a church. Let me read what Paul says. He says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Now, just to give us a little bit of a context to this passage that I read this morning, Paul, the Apostle Paul, has explained to the church in Corinth that he has received the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's explained that very clearly over the last few chapters here. And he speaks to them of this wonderful power and the sufficiency of the gospel of Jesus Christ and its message. And he speaks in very exalted terms that it is producing the most astonishing effects and freeing people from the condemnation of sin. And Paul is confident, you could say, of several things. First of all, he's confident of the sufficiency of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's also confident that this gospel needs no external reinforcement, for it shines by its own light. And finally, he's confident that though many in Corinth at that time had failed to respond to the gospel message that he was preaching, he was still glad to report that there was still some visible proof that the gospel was taking root in the hearts and minds of the people there. And Paul, just as he's recognized his own calling to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he also recognizes that he's a weak messenger. He's a weak vessel, you could say. That God has deposited in him this amazing treasure, and he's blown away by the contrast of the glorious God and his gospel versus the weakness of his own frail body and being a vessel to carry that message to the world. And so Paul sees himself not as somebody special, he's again that weak vessel, but a transmitter or a heralder, a steward of the gospel so that people would be reached. And so once again, there's that contrast between the great divine treasure, Christ himself, and the frailty and unworthiness of the vessel which Paul is referring to here. It's interesting when he uses this term jar or vessel, you think of maybe a vase of some type, something that you could probably get in any corner shop there in Corinth. They was selling in a lot of different places there in the city. It was a common thing. And so the point that Paul is making is that something extraordinary was placed into something common. And that's the contrast that he's trying to highlight there. Now, it's interesting, at that time, the Roman triumphal processions, as they would go out to war and have the spoils of victory, it was customary for the gold and silver, the spoils of that, to be carried in earthen vessels. For example, Plutarch, it was recorded, describes how the Macedonian victory in 167 BC, that 3,000 men followed the wagons carrying silver coins and 750 earthen vessels. So this was a common thing to see the spoils of war being transported in something that was common. It was an extraordinary treasure, but something that was quite normal in a vessel. And Paul's point here is in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, the most precious treasures are concealed sometimes in the most common containers. And Paul's saying, I'm just an ordinary guy. I'm just a man. I'm just a common container. But I have a treasure in me that is of infinite value. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. This excess power that is working, it is Jesus Christ, and it is all Him. And friends, when I think about what God has called us to be here at Clay House, we have an amazing treasure in Christ, and we're just common containers. But there's an infinite value that is placed within us, Christ working through us. And you know, so if anybody's going to get anything from our lives, it's going to be from the content and not just the container that holds it. And so you and I must be the kind of people that honor Jesus as frail vessels, but we carry a blessed treasure. And there's so many people in our world that need to see Christ and need to receive Christ in their life. And so at Clay House, my heart's desire is we could recognize certainly our own weakness. And I think most of us, if we're honest with ourselves, we can see that. But also the bigness of Jesus and who He is and the power of the gospel to change lives. How many of you here today, by the raising of hands, would say, the power of the gospel has changed my life? Yes, that's Jesus at work in you and me. That's Jesus and His work of grace in our lives. It's the power of the gospel to change and transform us. And friends, that's what this church must be about, the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is the good news. The Apostle Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of the power of the Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. He's not ashamed of that gospel. And we must not be either. And in verses 8 through 11 and verse 12 here, I'm not going to read that and repeat it again, but Paul's basically saying, after I'm revealing to you, Corinthians, that I'm a weak vessel, you also have to understand that I've been hunted and hounded by people that are out there in the world. I know the agony of being hated. I know the agony of being pursued by other people who are diametrically opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these afflictions that I'm enduring, this kind of pain that I'm going through, I'm carrying around mysteriously the body of the dying Jesus. I'm carrying around what his grace and His work, but it's Christ working through me. Jesus is my treasure. Now some of us would ask, well, why is verse 7 our theme verse as a church? You know, thinking about that we are earthen vessels, hence the name Clay House. You know, our aim here as people, jars of clay, if you will, is to beautifully encounter the power of the living God so that other people may discover the greatest treasure in Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. Our aim here at Clay House is to invite people, basically jars of clay, to beautifully encounter the power of the living God so that they may discover the greatest treasure, Jesus Christ. That if we're gospel-centered, if we're focused on Jesus and making Him our sole desire, if we're delighting in Him, as people see that, they're going to say, there's something different about you and the way you together worship, you're exalting Jesus Christ. You know, friends, it's not just about learning about Jesus. It's getting to know Him intimately. It's getting to know Him. It's developing a relationship with Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that only know Jesus and know about God cognitively in their minds, but they don't have any dynamic relationship with Jesus. It's all mental. And yes, there is a place for understanding about Jesus, but Jesus wants a relationship with you and me. You know, I love to read biographies. I love to read a lot of books. And I've just read biographies over the years, and actually right now I'm reading a biography on John D. Rockefeller, and so I'm learning about his life. But you know, it's interesting, as I'm reading through this biography of Rockefeller, you know, obviously I could not go back in time and meet him. I can learn about Rockefeller and his life, but I didn't know him because I've never met him. And you know, when we read the pages of Scripture, we want to know certainly about Jesus, but we also understand that it's the Holy Spirit that illuminates God's Word so that we can get to know Jesus and have a relationship with Him personally, where we begin to know His heart, where He speaks to us through His Word, that we can discern His will and His way for our lives. And so again, this church should not just be about information, it should be about transformation. That we not just receive the news about Jesus, but that we receive Christ in our lives, repenting of our sins and trusting Him so that we can be followers and obedient people to His will and His way for our lives. And so this is not just a matter about learning about Jesus. We want to know Him, and we want to know His will and his way for us. You know, God has called us to be a people here that encounter God. You know, there's a lot of times, sometimes people come up to me after the service and say, oh boy, that was a great thing you did here, or boy, that was a good message and so forth. And that's well appreciated, and I thank you for that. But, you know, the greatest compliment for me any Sunday is God was here. To me, that is what floats my boat. When people can just say, God was here today, I sensed him working in our midst, I sensed him speaking to my heart and mind. To me, that's the greatest compliment, and that's the greatest blessing to me as a pastor, when I can see and sense God working among his people, and that people can come. And my prayer is that when we have new people come here to this place, as I mentioned, God doesn't indwell buildings or temples like he did in the Old Testament. He indwells people's lives. But as people, as we gather together as God's people, my prayer is when they come in here, they can sense the manifest presence of Jesus, where they can come and sense God is here. And I want to be, there's something real and alive and dynamic. This place is electrified because God's people gather together. And so my prayer is that all of us would encounter Jesus. And really, that's what's going to take. I realize that I, too, am a weak vessel. That nobody's going to be changed because I just simply read page thing on a page or read something. It's going to be changed only by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so our aim together is that we say, Holy Spirit, you have free reign and will here in this church to do as you will, so that you would speak and draw people's hearts to Jesus. That's my desire, and that's my prayer as a pastor here for this church, that we would be about this, that there would be a tangible sense of the presence of God here in our midst. So you might ask, well, okay, Pastor Tim, what are the things that we value here at Clay House? We did look at the mission and vision statement, if you want to show those up real quick, from last Sunday, if we have that. If not, okay. Okay, here we are. Yes, to love Jesus and to make his love known. We shared about that last week, our mission. Let's go to the next slide. We at Clay House are a Christ-centered church bringing hope and healing to our city and to our world. That's our vision. That's how we carry out the mission that God has for us. And now we're going to move into our values here as a church. That we would be. This is the things that kind of give a little bit of an explanation as to the DNA of who we are. So I have seven things I would like to share with you this morning. If you want to write these down, if you want to jot down some verses here this morning, we're going to go through these seven things about what are we going to be about here as a church. Now, I do want to make it very clear. This is not an exhaustive list, but these are many things that God has been doing in our hearts, and these are the things we've discerned God already at work, and this is what we want to continue to feed as a church. Number one, worship as priority. Worship as priority. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. So when we talk about worship as priority, we're not just simply talking about singing. Yes, that involves singing, but it involves an entire life. That whatever we do, as we gather together as God's people, as we go out into the world, as you go about your business every day, that we be about worshiping Jesus. Worshiping Jesus while we're doing the dishes or laundry. Worshiping Jesus as we're taking the kids to the park. Worshiping Jesus as we have that phone call with that other person that we're working with around the other side of the world or wherever they may be. That we're worshiping Jesus. And that my heart's desire is that we would be a worshiping church. That we would honor and glorify Jesus. And frankly, as I get up to preach every Sunday, my desire, and I believe it's God's desire, is that he would help us to be better worshipers. We read God's word and we listen to God's word so that he would help us to be better worshipers and glorifying him in all things that we think, say, and do. That we be a worshiping community. A.W. Tozer says, we're to be worshipers first and workers only second. We take a convert and immediately make a worker out of them. God never meant it to be so. God meant that a convert should learn to be a worshiper, and after that they can learn to be a worker, because the work done by a worshiper will have eternity in it. He's right. Our aim is to be worshipers of Jesus. You know, frankly, it's possible to do many good things, but not be worshiping Jesus while we do it. So that our aim not only is to do good works, as Jesus has called for us to do and given us some works to do in advance, but while we do them, worship and honor Jesus. That we praise him as we reach people in the community. We praise him as we connect with one another in small groups and other places. That it's all meant to glorify Jesus in everything. Whatever you eat or drink, whatever you do, glorify God. God has called us to be a worshiping community. In fact, as I mentioned last Sunday, as we look into 2018, the thing that God has been impressing upon my heart is that we would get back to the feet of Jesus. You know, we need to advance and reach the world with the gospel, so it's not an either or. But when we get to the feet of Jesus, he gives us our sending message. He gives us the burden for the lost people. He gives us everything we need. In fact, as we looked about in Acts 1:8, says Jesus said, you shall receive power. But before that, he told them, I want you to tarry in Jerusalem. I want you to wait for power on high. And we're so quick, and I'm that type of personality. I like to just go and do it. And God is saying, wait for me. Don't run ahead, don't lag behind. Be in step with me. And as you discern my heart, then I'll send you out to be witnesses to the world with power. But friends, we do this all in worship to Jesus Christ. And we need to get back to the feet of Jesus. Worship is priority. That's number one. The second value that we as a church here at Clay House want to be about is number two, God's word as authority. God's word as authority. Dennis, if you read 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17.
All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work.
God's word is living and active. There's power in this. In other words, scripture describes it's a double-edged sword. In other words, it has the ability not only to heal us, but also at times to wound us. To heal our brokenness, but also at times to wound our pride. And help us, by God's grace, to soften our hearts. God's word is living and active. This is not just a book that you read like you're reading Aesop's Fables or some of these old classical literature. This is living and active because it is God-breathed. And because of that, this textbook will be our resource book as long as I'm pastor. My prayers for the indefinite future. God's word is going to be our authority. Amen? That we're going to stay true to God's word. There's a lot of great resources out there, Christian resources, and I'm not standing against those one bit. But I'll tell you, there's nothing that is a substitute for the word of God. And we want to be about God's word here at Clay House. And that as I preach, this, I promised you this is going to be my source book. That we be about God's word. Because, you know, you're not going to be changed by my opinions. You're going to be changed by God's word. And so God's word is authority for our lives. You know, there are a lot of trends and polls today, opinions and fads, and they all come and go. But the Bible and God's word remains the same. It is the foundation for our lives. Isaiah 40 verse 8 says, the grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And so if we're going to build our lives on anything, we need to build our lives on something that doesn't change. God's word does not change. And at Clay House, we're unashamed of God's word. And the Bible is our textbook. You know, Everett Harris said, no one ever graduates from Bible study until they meet its author face to face. And we all can grow and we all can learn. I don't care if you've been walking with Jesus for 2 weeks or 20 years or 70 years, whatever the case may be, we can all grow by God's grace. And my heart's desire is that all of us would be teachable. This includes me, includes all of our leaders, includes every one of us, that we have a teachable spirit, that we have a humble spirit that says, God, what is it you want to teach me through your word, that I can be obedient? And we don't want to just be hearers only, but we want to put the word of God into practice so that we can honor Jesus through our lives. And so the word of God is going to remain central to what we do. And if people are going to come here and encounter God, they're going to encounter the Word, Jesus Christ. The Word became flesh, as John makes it very clear in his gospel. And so God's Word is all our authority, and we grow through His Word. And the Bible is alive, and it teaches us. The third value that we're going to be about here at Clay House is Spirit-filled witness for service. Spirit-filled witness for service. You know, last week as I shared Acts 1:8, as I quoted earlier, Jesus says, "And you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." In other words, God fills us with the Spirit of Christ, yes, so that we can be witnesses to a world that so desperately needs Him. The Spirit of God fills us so that we're sent into mission, so that we can be sent out as ambassadors for the gospel. And as pastor here at Clay House, you need to know that I'm going to emphasize strongly the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. This is something that I'm going to be preaching on consistently. And you know, some of us, we may look back and say, well, praise God, what happened 20, 10 years ago, God touched my heart and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. But the emphasis in Ephesians is being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's the idea of a continuous action. So I don't, praise God for what happened 10, 20 years ago, but are you filled today? So that I'm going to be preaching this consistently. Why do I preach it? Because Jesus taught it. He says, you're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing apart from me, but I'm going to send a comforter, a counselor. I'm going to send the Spirit of God. You know, D.L. Moody once said, God commands us to be filled with the Spirit, and if we aren't filled, it's because we're living beneath our privileges. You know, there's a lot of people today, they're battery operated. They go throughout the week and they get their battery wound down, and then they come to church and they get charged up. You know, my desire as a pastor is that we not be battery operated, but we be plugged in so that we're continually charged by the Spirit of God. Yes, we come to get charged up and we need encouragement together as we gather as God's people, as we learn from God's Word. But my desire is that you would develop a relationship with Jesus and develop an intimate encounter with the Holy Spirit in your life so that He transforms you and me so that we can be followers of Jesus more faithfully and that we would be continually filled and plugged in. That we not just be battery operated and flicker on and off, but we be charged. And sadly, though every believer in Jesus Christ has the Holy Spirit does not have every believer. And we must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Not only am I going to strongly emphasize the need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, but I'm also going to strongly emphasize our need to get engaged in mission and ministry. That God doesn't just fill us up for spiritual picnics only. He does it so that we can be filled to be a witness and go out and reach people. And so I'm going to be kind of pushing all of us to consider ways in which God would have us reach out in the world. And we're still praying about this as leaders. We're still praying about, I would invite you to pray about this too. How can we at Clay House let our light shine to our neighborhoods and to our communities? You know, my desire as a pastor is not just to get people that are church hoppers to come and join the church. My desire is to see lost people, people that do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, see them rescued and redeemed by the blood of Jesus and have new believers come in. And they be reached with the gospel. Is that your heart's desire too? Amen. My desire is that we reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus says, you're going to receive power, when you do this, you're going to be my witnesses to the world. And so we cannot divorce the two concepts together. We must be filled, but we also must be recognizing that we're sent out into mission, that the two are linked together. And God does not want us sitting on the sidelines when it comes to ministry and mission. In fact, friends, each of us, if we're believers in Jesus Christ, we've each been given a gift, maybe more than one. None of us have been given all the gifts. That's why we need each other, and that's why we're part of the body. But we need each other. And so I want to just challenge you. Maybe some of you have been coming for, you know, just kind of checking things out, and that's wonderful. We're glad that you've been coming and checking things out. But as you sensing God, if God is leading you to participate and to join in here, I want to move all of us from a spectator mentality to a participator mentality. That God would move us from spectators to participants. That we jump in and become a part of the body of Christ and serve in ministry as God had given us. And I want to say this. This church is not about me or any one of us. It's about all of us working together and using the gifts and abilities and graces that He's given us. And we all can build into the ministry life here of the church and reach people with the gospel. I can't do it alone. And neither can you. We need each other. We need you. And maybe some of you have been sitting on your talent or your skill or gifting, and you know it's there, but you've just been too busy. I'll say, dear friends, yes, I understand life gets busy, but you cannot afford to bury your talent, the gifts and abilities and graces God has given you. He sent us into mission. Let's use it. Let's use it for the glory of Jesus. So Spirit-filled witness for service, for mission, for ministry. The fourth value that we want to be here at Clay House about is growing through authentic relationships. Dennis, if you'll read Acts chapter 2, verse 42, listen to what is said here.
They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer.
So the early church, they grew together. They broke bread. They had fellowship. They were constantly in each other's homes. They were giving to each other as they had need. They were continually teaching and connecting with one another. And we saw the life of God happening in the early church. And scores of new people were coming to faith in Christ because of their commitment to the gospel of Jesus. And so, friends, we need each other. Christianity is meant to be done in community. It's meant to be done. And there's a lot of trends today, a lot of mentality that goes on, I think, subconsciously in a lot of people, is that, you know, I'm kind of a freelance Christian. And sadly, what often happens is somebody will show up to church and something happens and either they get quickly offended or something. And I understand there's reasons and times for us to make a transition and move on. But I will say this, if the pattern of your life is to continue like planting a fruit tree in your front yard and after a year or two pulling it up and planting it in another yard and then pulling it up and planting it in another yard, do you think there's ever going to be fruit on that tree? Stay planted. I feel the Spirit of God having me say that. Stay committed. Stay planted. Yes, there are tough times. Yes, there are difficult seasons. But stay in a place where you see fruit. And sadly, sometimes, and again, I'm not saying there aren't times and places and seasons and reasons for us to make transitions in life. I want you to make that very clear. I want to make that very clear before you all. But if the pattern of your life is to continually move from one place to the next place, you're missing out on an opportunity for God to show up and use you and fruit to happen. Yes, there's challenges. Yes, there's difficulties. Yes, sometimes there's sadly conflicts. But if that happens, it's an opportunity for God's grace and the ministry of the Holy Spirit to happen. So again, we want to be an authentic community where we have an authentic relationships together. We need each other. And sadly, some of us put our own business affairs and agendas before relationships with other people in the body of Christ. You know, there's a story of a man and his friend who were playing golf one day, and one of the guys was getting ready to make his chip shot. And as he prepared to stroke the ball on the green, he saw a long funeral procession on the road next to the golf course. The man took off his cap and got on his knees and he bowed his head to pray. And his friend said, "Wow, that is the most thoughtful and touching thing that I've ever seen. I can't believe how great it was for you to stop your golf swing and get down on your knees for this funeral procession that was passing by. What thoughtfulness." And the man replied, "Yeah, well, we were married for 35 years. I figure it was the least I could do." You know, here's a guy that had his own agenda, had his own thing that he was doing. And that's what a lot of us do. We give a nod to God, and we continue on with business as usual. We give a nod to God, and we continue on our way. I want to just invite you, if you're new here, if you've been coming for a long period of time, as you come here, to make relationships a priority. And you know, one thing I've discovered being in ministry for a number of years is sometimes people will come and say, "Boy, I wish somebody would come and reach out to me." And yes, that is a true desire that we have. But I want to encourage you to be the answer to somebody else's prayer. That just as you have the desire to somebody to reach out to you, that you take the step and reach out to somebody else. That we recognize that we're all in this together. And that we need relationships. In fact, as I mentioned at the early outset of the service, we're getting a number of small groups started. This is an excellent and practical way for you to get plugged in and for you to meet people and for you to do Christian life together. You know, there's only so much you can get on a Sunday morning. But as you go and meet with people on a regular basis, You can connect. You can do the things that Acts chapter 2 we just read about is about. You can break bread. You can have fellowship. You can bear one another's burden. If you're going through a tough time, you can support one another. You can celebrate the joyous times in life as well. We need each other. And we can do this together. We grow through authentic relationships. So as I mentioned last week, three practical things you can do is come to church, join a small group, and get involved in a ministry. If you can do those three things, you're really getting in the groove of where we want to be as a church. But we grow through authentic relationships. And so I want to just challenge you here this morning to pray about this, but ask where God would have you take the next step in building and forming relationships, whether it's inviting somebody out to eat for dinner or going out to coffee or doing something to just reach out to somebody, because you never know how you can be the answer to somebody's prayers as they're coming here. And there very well be many people in here today that though we're in a crowd of people, you feel very lonely. I want to just invite all of us to say, Holy Spirit, what would you have me do to reach out so that I can connect with others, though I might be feeling that way too? But Lord, give me the grace to step out, to take that next step. We grow through authentic relationships. The fifth value that we want to be here at Clay House is that we want to share God's hope and healing. Now, this was linked largely with our mission statement, which we saw on the screen a moment. But Jesus says in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You know, there's a hurting world out there, Clay House. You and I rub shoulders a lot of times with people we work with or places we're at in our neighborhoods. There's people that are hurting and are desperate for hope. And even though people are broken and hurting, we know that there's a healer. We know that there's a deliverer. We know that there's a restorer and a rescuer for our souls. And so we want to let our light shine. We have this treasure, as we read about earlier, in jars of clay. And so we offer Jesus to people. You know, hope is one of those things you cannot do without in life. You can live for about 40 days without food, about 3 days without water, and about 8 minutes without air, but only 1 second without hope. And there's a lot of people that are just grabbing on to things in life. They're looking for something to fill that void in their life. They're turning to drugs, and they're turning to all these other types of things, and they're looking for other kind of ways out. They're getting involved in relationships that God would not have them get involved with. And they're looking to try to solve all their problems, and they're desperately searching for meaning and purpose. God invites us to himself. You know, Gilbert Beacon said, other people see only a hopeless end, but the Christian rejoices in an endless hope. And so our aim as a church here at Clay House is that we would share the hope of Jesus Christ. That no matter what kind of things you're going through, no matter what challenges you're facing, not to say that when you come to Jesus, all your problems go away. That's a lie. But he gives you a foundation. He gives you an anchor. He gives you a rock to stand on. Though the winds may come and the storms of life may happen, you can have rest in your soul by knowing Jesus and following hard after him. And so we want to offer that hope. We want to offer that healing that comes through Christ. Jesus wants us to be whole from the inside out. Yes, we talked about last Sunday, there are times when we struggle physically, and all of us will pass away if Jesus tarries and is coming. But I believe God wants to touch our lives, body, soul, and spirit, that we would be delivered and made new in our hearts and be renewed in our minds each day. And some of us, when we come to Christ, we come in with a lot of crud, and God can clean us up. You know, it's like when you're fishing, you know, you get the fish in the boat and stuff, you have to clean it. You know, we're thankful that people can come here just as they are. They don't have to come clean. But when they come and get to know Jesus, he does the cleaning work. He does the transformation. I want to say we ought to make this place a place where people can come, and wherever they're at, just come and find hope and find healing in Jesus. Amen? Amen. So we want to be about that here, that this would be a place where we can share God's hope and healing with the world. The sixth value I want to communicate here this morning about what we want to be about here as a church is a commitment to prayer and intercession. Dennis, if you'll read Ephesians 6, 12 and 13 and verse 17 as well.
For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Verse 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
You know, friends, God has called us to advance here at Clay House on our knees. Let me say that very clearly. This church is only going to advance as we're on our knees in prayer. Sometimes we just think, well, that's kind of a nice thing you do for the, you know, the people that want to gather together, that want to pray, and that's good. And I believe in prayer and so forth. But I'll tell you, friends, this is where God is inviting us to have fellowship with Him, where we pray and intercede and say, Lord, unless you do it, it will not happen. Prayer is a way where we put God at the center of our attention. And so as I'm going to be talking about next year with getting back to the feet of Jesus, the two particular areas I believe God wants to grow this church is in the area of prayer and the area of praise. And those two particular areas, and as we get back to prayer and praise, God will begin to infuse His life in us, and then we'll be sent out as witnesses to the world. That God would help us to get back to the feet of Jesus and pray. And prayer, it is not just simply rattling off a bunch of requests and then, you know, kind of viewing God as some type of giant Santa Claus or cosmic genie where we just say, here you go, God, and say our amens. God invites us to fellowship with Him where we begin to pray and seek His face. And one of the things I've discovered is you seek God's face, His hand follows. A lot of times we only seek God for what He can give us. How sad it would be if we just wanted to be in relationship with other people for what they could give us, rather than getting to know them for who they are. Sometimes we approach God as if we only just come to Him when there's a problem. God, what can you give me? How can, you know, get me out of this kind of thing? And yes, that's right to pray those prayers, but I'll tell you, we're missing it if we're missing the heart of getting to know God Himself. Laying our head, so to speak, on the Father's chest to say, God, what's your heart say? What is it you want to communicate? How can I learn from you? How can you teach me your will and your way? Friends, as we get back to having that intimate encounter with God through prayer and worship, as we do this, God's going to infuse life into this church, as He's already doing, but He's going to continue to do that. And He'll speak to us and how we should witness to our world. So we have a commitment here as this church to prayer and to intercession. That's one of the things I've been very greatly encouraged. When I first came in, I realized that there was a group of people that were praying ahead of time. God, lead the right person here and do all the, you know, just people are lifting up things to God. I want to just kind of stoke that fire. My prayer is that our prayer meetings would be every night, packed house, and we would seek the Lord and God would show up and do what He wants to do. You know, I'm not just interested in running programs here. I'm interested in a move of God where He touches our lives as never before. And if we do what we've always done, we're going to get what we've always got. It's time that God's saying, all right, you've been talking about getting right and being on fire for me. It's time. Do it. Seek my face. If you draw, if you run after me, and as Paul makes it very clear that when we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. That as we do this together, as we seek Him in prayer and intercession. And you know, one of the things I've discovered is that sometimes because of the busyness of our schedules, we all like the idea of a prayer night, but it's often hard because of kids and things like that. My desire is to infuse prayer into every ministry of this church. So in other words, it's not just a matter of creating new ministries. It's saying, God, how can prayer be infused in the life of every existing ministry? In our women's ministry, in our men's ministry, children and youth. How can we get prayer saturating this church and seeking God together? My prayer is that we would be that, and we would do that as a church body. For many of us, prayer is like a national anthem before a football game. It gets the game started, but it simply has no connection to what's going on in the field. And God is inviting us to a place where we're seeking Him when drawing Him, say, this is what it's about. This is the life. There's a time and place to go. You know, some of us, prayer is just a courtesy. We just kind of wing our prayer. And, you know, we conduct our meetings of like we just go about business and then we'll wing up a token prayer at the end. My desire is that we say, God, what is it you want to do? The business meeting is meeting with God. And as He does that, He will infuse His life and His heart in this church body. And so prayer and intercession is my heart's desire. And it's the desire, I know, of many of you, that we get back to the heart of God. And one practical thing we're going to be doing here in the days and weeks ahead, actually the next few months, I'm going to be assembling a prayer team of some spiritually mature people, men and women. And during the services on most Sundays, we're going to have them available up front to come if you have a burden or a prayer request. Maybe if the Holy Spirit would be leading during a sermon, would some of us need to respond in a certain way? We're just going to let the Holy Spirit guide this, but we want to have a team of spiritually mature people that if you want to share something in confidence, it will remain with them, and you can come forward during the end of the service or even after the service is over and share and pray and lift up your burdens before God. We're going to do some practical things like this, and my desire is that it would be so worked into the DNA of the church that you just know any Sunday you can come and get prayed for and join together with somebody to pray. We're going to pray. We're going to seek the Lord. We're going to draw near to His heart. John Wallace says, prayer moves the hand which moves the world. That's the sixth thing, the commitment to prayer and intercession. The seventh value and final thing I want to talk about is faithful kingdom living. Here at Clay House, we're going to be about faithful kingdom living. 1 Corinthians 4:2 says, it is required of stewards that they be found trustworthy. So if we're called to be worshipers of Jesus Christ, part of that worship is being obedient to the things that Jesus has called us to. Oswald Chambers says the best measure of spiritual life is not ecstasies, but obedience. And he's right. Friends, the gospel message is not just that we are saved from hell, but also that we are saved from the power of sin. Yes. Praise God that He delivers us from hell. But God wants to deliver heaven to our souls even now. That we be obedient and live in faithfulness to His commandments. That we must bear the fruit of real repentance. There's a lot of people that can just say a prayer, Jesus, I believe in you. But you look at their life and there's no fruit. Jesus said you'll know them by the fruit. So as a result, we need to be a people that lets the life of Jesus saturate every part of who we are. That the Holy Spirit would empower us to righteousness. That people would not trip over our lives in coming to Jesus Christ, but there would be a consistency in the way we live and the way we preach. And again, we all have work to go and we're all works in progress. And all of us, and I'll be the first to admit, we all have many areas in which we stumble and fall. But I'll tell you, dear friends, I never want to shortchange the grace of Jesus Christ to make us into the people He desires us to be. To make us people that are holy and righteous by His grace. It's a matter of just coming to the point where you say, God, I surrender. It's not a matter of me kind of pulling up my bootstraps and trying it on my own. Certainly there's a place for discipline. But it's letting the life of Christ in me dwell. And then when I live in that way, I live out the work that God has worked in me. So it's by His grace. So faithful kingdom living, that we be about living a way that honors God. Vance Havner once said, have you not really learned a commandment until you have obeyed it? The church suffers today from Christians who know volumes more than they practice. Our Lord told us not to go merely to teach people the things that He has commanded, but to observe them, to obey. You know, here in Colorado, I've had a chance to hike a little bit with the kids and so forth. And you know, those of you that bring your kids hiking with you, you tell them, don't go near the edge of the cliff or you might fall off. I mean, that's just what a wise parent says. You just want to keep them close so they're not standing over the edge. Now, suppose your kid walked over to the edge and says, oh, I'll be careful. You know, good parent will say, no, stop. I don't want your carefulness, I want your obedience. And some of us have been dancing very close to the edge. God is saying, get away from the cliff. Stay in my will. Stay in my way. Walk in obedience. God wants obedience from us, that we would live faithfully where he would have us. You know, friends, God has given us the greatest treasure in Jesus Christ, and we're just ordinary vessels. We're ordinary, but there's an extraordinary Christ in us by his Holy Spirit. And I pray that God would use this church profoundly here at Clay House, and I believe that he will, but it'll happen as we surrender ourselves completely to him. I'm not hyping up a vision this morning. I'm not hyping up just simply the mission. And I'm not even trying to hype up the values. I'm here to honor Jesus. And if we can keep Jesus the focus, it'll be his work in us that'll produce the fruit and the life. And my prayer, and as our leaders have been praying, and my desire for this church is that we would, just in review, make worship a priority. That we would honor God's word as authority. That we would be filled with the Holy Spirit for service and for mission. That we would grow together in authentic relationships. And that we would share God's hope and healing to our city and to our world. And that we would commit to pray and intercede for one another and live faithfully as Jesus would have us. Can we get an amen to that? Amen. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to pray and ask that the Lord would do that. We're going to invite the worship team at this time to come forward. I'm going to just pray, and then we're going to have the worship team lead us in song here. Lord, we come to you now. Lord, we realize that the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And Lord, we can talk about all these things and hype it all up, but Jesus, you've got to do this in us. You are the vine. We're the branches. And so, Lord, I pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would infuse life into this church, that we would be everything you've purposed us to be, that we would be the kind of people you intend us to be, and that we would serve and follow you in obedience and witness to our world. God, give us discernment. Give us a heart that sees people as you see them. Lord, we come to you now, and we realize that you're able to do exceedingly and abundantly, more than we could ever ask or think or imagine. God, you're able, and so we trust in you. God, our confidence is in you. It's not in us or our abilities. It's in you. So God, we want to acknowledge that this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God is able, isn't he? I'm so thankful that God will give us the strength to be everything he intends us to be here at this church and to do everything he intends us to do as we reach our world. I want to thank you for coming today. Once again, just thank you for being here. We invite you to come back any Sunday. Don't forget, if you're new, we have a Connection Center. And also, for those